start the meeting and get us on our way.
This is Recompense's fifth gathering to celebrate Shabig's nonprofits. The official mission of the Recompense Fund is to support the community of Shabig by providing grants to the island nonprofit organizations, the school, and the town. But we also want to support the nonprofits by publicly acknowledging and promoting the work that they do, by giving them an opportunity to spread the word about their missions and their accomplishments and their current challenges. Yesterday, I received an email of regrets from somebody who was not going to be able to be here today. And she said she was really sorry to miss this because this has become her favorite summer event. And the reason that it is that is because it makes her feel so good about the island community and its incredible giving people. So I hope you experience this conversation today as she has. I am the timekeeper. We are blessed with many nonprofits. We invited them all to speak for 3 to 5 minutes or to send me something to read on their behalf if they couldn't come. But as the timekeeper, I have to make sure we get to hear from all of them at least before the sun sets. I didn't bring a kitchen timer as a prop this year as I did last year. Some took offense to that. I can't understand why. But forgive me in advance if I nudge a little bit to keep us on schedule. Let me start by interrupting my own agenda. And I'd like to do that to acknowledge Eldon Mayer, who's with us today. Maybe we can do this like the State of the Union address, where I'll give another paragraph and then you all can applaud again. The Recompense Fund was Eldon's idea. It was his initial project. And how far we've come in the time since 2012, when the fund was independently starting to work on its own, and it made a whopping $5,000 in grants that year. This year, we've made $88,000 and $500. And over that, just little more than a decade, more than $500,000 in grants to the island's nonprofits have been made through the Recompense Fund. So, thank you, Eldon, for this initiative and for all the other things you've done for this island that we all love. Thank you. So let's begin with the Land Trust, Penny Asherman.
Thank you. I'm glad I get to go first before everyone gets so hot. Okay. I'm Penny Asherman. I'm Executive Director of the Shabig and Cumberland Land Trust. And I want to begin by... Can't hear. I want to begin by thanking the Recompense Fund for contributing to our Indian Point Restoration Project this year. Since January, we've been working really hard with the landowners at Indian Point to do a multi-phase project. The first part was to take out the deteriorating seawall so that we could improve the safety of the beach and the distribution of sand down at the hook. We are working on building a boardwalk for better public access, safer public access. We're going to be working on some dune enhancements for habitat protection and soil erosion control. And we've been hosting events and we'll continue doing educational work with signage on that property. And as you know, we've had some endangered plovers that we've been managing since April. And we're happy to have fledged 4 healthy chicks from Indian Point and 4 adults. Thank our plover volunteers who've been out there multiple times a day since April monitoring the birds for us. Last fall, I don't know if you all know, but we protected 18 acres in the center of the island. This is to protect the water quality of the aquifer where you get your drinking water, some forest habitat for wildlife, and providing additional recreational opportunities in the island center for you. So that's really exciting. We're continuing conversations with other landowners on the island. So stay tuned for news to be coming forth on that. We've also been working hard to improve the visitor experiences at some of your properties. You might have noticed that we've added some benches. We have some new kiosks. We've been working on improving the trails, building some boardwalks, kind of managing the invasive species as best as we can. It's our goal to have you be able to come to the properties and feel safe and welcome and be able to have a great experience. So you might have seen Jonathan Dawson, our stewardship coordinator around the island with his tools on his bike, you know, going to each of the properties. And also next coming up in the spring, we will be launching a signage effort. We're gonna be improving signage at each of our properties. So we're deep in that right now. And hopefully when you come back next year, you'll be able to see all of the new signage that we have. We're hosting 5 educational events this summer, and I hope you've been to some of them. They've been very well attended and well received. We had over 125 people for our live owl event last week. So now we know live animals are the thing. So, yes, and there were ages from, as Lila said, 3 to 83 there. So it was a well-received event, and we're glad to be putting those on. And we also have an event coming up on Wednesday. It's our annual meeting and summer celebration, which is being held at Diane Lukosh's house. And we'll have author Chris Louie, who's a naturalist, and he'll be talking about his new book and bringing books to sign. So we hope that you will all come. That's from 4 to 6 on Wednesday. So thank you again for all of your support. All of the work that we're doing doesn't happen. We apply for a lot of grants, but when it comes down to it, it takes a lot of individual support to make all these things happen. So thank you.
Next on the list is the church, but is Victor back there? Oh, yes, you were supposed to be on a later boat. Great.
Like Jesus, I walked on water. Listen, we're entering the last remaining weeks of summer, and we're just so grateful to be a part of this incredible community. We're really leaning into our name, Shabig Community Church. We're doing a lot more collaborations and having and hosting a lot more events, bringing back gatherings to the church, not just on Sunday morning, but what it is to gather as a community over music with our partnership with Macbeth, entering their 25th season and working with us in delivering and having an incredible gathering of music, working with the Shabig Recreation Center in hosting bigger events with them in those collaborations, and gearing up for some really exciting things in the fall. And so with that, we just are super grateful to be able to have our community behind us. Our church did 2 surveys, one before my arrival and one last summer. And last year, we had over 94% of our respondents that told us that the church is important to them personally. So as we enter this year, 170 years since that singular church building was built by hands on this island from trees in this island, we enter it with great pride and service. Our food pantry has seen an uptick, and many of you know the history that that provided during the pandemic. And as times and need arises, we want to be prepared for that. We have great plans of what we're doing. We have an incredible food pantry committee. Vicki and Shelley and I continue to meet every Monday to assess our needs. Our gathering committee meets every month, and we look at that survey, and we come back to what's needed: funerals, celebrations, and church gatherings. And so we just want to continue to serve in that aspect. I always say we have an open door policy, we have an open and affirming culture, and we're leaning into what it is truly to be interfaith and multi-denominational here on Chibig. So my door is always open to you. We thank you for your support, and if you ever want to have a coffee with me, my door is always open. Please join me. Thank you.
The Chibig Island Community Association. Bill, will you be talking for that?
Good evening. Let's see. Well, Wednesday we get our, hopefully, occupant certificate. So we have two new families, or a family and two young men moving into our new residence. I want to thank Recompense for all of their support over the years. This has been a great event the last few weeks. We've been celebrating it. We were able to do this without taking a bridge loan to help pay for it. So at the end of this, we will have done this through Maine Housing without any kind of loans. It'll be forgiven. And it's just been a wonderful project. I couldn't have asked for probably better occupants. We have two young men from the island. One's a plumber, the other one's a construction guy. You know, we need them. And then a family with a young child that will be in our school in a few years. So it has been a fun year. And we are going to take a month or two to decide what our next steps are and what we want to do. But we are really looking forward to what we do next. And I just want to thank Recompense for all the support you've given over the years to us and the community. This was an amazing community event to pull this through without doing a bridge loan. It was just fantastic. So thank you.
Is there anyone here from the Island Council? The mission of the Council is to promote and assist in the development of activities and projects designed to improve conditions important to the inhabitants of Great Chibig, to assist and advise and cooperate with several duly constituted town authorities in connection with matters pertaining to the affairs of Great Chibig and to the inhabitants thereof, to acquire real estate and personal property, and to hold, manage, and operate the same for the purposes of the corporation, and to maintain and improve medical facilities and services for the people of Chibig Island. That's the Chibig Island Council. The Fire and Rescue Association. Is Jeff here? Yes, here he comes.
Good evening, all. Every year is unique for our team of volunteers.
You're good.
Thanks. Last year, our fall fundraising was successful enough that we were able to outfit 7 members with new up-to-date fire protective gear. This year's fundraising will again focus on new and updated equipment so our members can perform their duties safely and effectively where minutes and seconds count. As always, our calls increase dramatically during these busy summer months. So much so that in one stretch, we were averaging 1 to 3 calls each day for about a 2-week time frame. Which leads me to publicly want to thank CTC and its crew members. Some examples are on 3 different occasions, Life Flight was called, but the ferry was still going to get the patient to a paramedic more quickly. And on one day in particular, Amanda Campbell probably worked 13 out of 12 hours, even showing up for a lift assist when we had both ambulances out, a team transporting a deceased individual, all the while another 911 call getting dispatched. Chibig Transportation is a member of the Chibig Fire and Rescue Association. Which leads me to stress the importance of getting new recruits and volunteers when we need people for multiple calls, just like today. And how do we do that when real estate is selling at the low end for $800,000 and on the high end for over $2 million? We support CECA more than ever to attract diversity to our year-round population. Examples of this are the people now running our post office, library, rec center, transfer station, public works, golf course, managing Slowbell, and 50% of town hall, all newcomers to the island in the past 8 years. So as a small town with so many nonprofits doing so many wonderful things, I wonder if the current business model is sustainable, given the facts of our residential age, housing availability, and the fact that we are all competing for the same dollar. I have this conversation with my wife many different ways. The word community is used a lot in our town, but to be part of a town, you need to contribute more than just by paying your property taxes. So thank you for all doing much more than just paying your property taxes, and hope not to see you at 3 a.m. tonight on a rescue.
I think we all know the work that the Island Hall does. They were not sending somebody, but asked me to read this as their mission statement. To serve the community by giving Islanders a place to gather, vote, listen to music, attend plays and lectures, and eat. The de facto town hall for town and departmental meetings and voting, school concerts, summer plays, and most big island events. Available free of charge to other nonprofits for non-fundraising events and to gatherings of mourning families. The goal is not to have an enormous endowment, but to pour any spare monies into the facility and thus directly into our community. So that's the Island Hall. The Historical Society, Phyllis or Ted, who got the short straw? Ted.
Thank you, Toby. I'm Ted Ballard, and I am the treasurer now of the Historical Society, and I don't know that I got the short straw. When I started to think about what would I like to say, and I wrote it down, and then I said, how long will this take? And the answer was 40 minutes. So I'm not going to do that. I'm going to... And in conclusion, we'd like to thank Recompense Fund for organizing this event. It gives us the chance to say thank you to them for their continued support for all of our work and our ambitions, and to thank you for your support. And I'd like to touch on a couple of things we've been doing and a couple of things we aspire to do. First is our museum and the continuing exhibit titled Creating a Sense of Place that opened last summer. This came through a years-long project of planning and design and construction, supported by extraordinary generosity, gifts of time and of knowledge, in-kind contributions, and significant financial donations in order to make that happen. And I look around this room, and I can see many of the people whose generosity made it happen. And I think about that title, Creating a Sense of Place. Who is our audience? Well, you are one audience. I bet everyone here could describe the beginning of your own connection to Shabig. Who and where and when. For some, that goes back generations, even centuries. At the same time, some of us are ourselves the Shabig pioneers who have come to discover and make a new sense of place. But there's also a wider audience. I just checked. In the month of July, we had 915 separate visitors to the museum. That includes, of course, some of you, but it also includes many who haven't been to Shabig before. Some people who may not even ever have been to an island before. We hope their visits introduce them to this island and its community and to the evolution that has made it what it is now. Another highlight is our newly published cookbook. How is that historical? Well, the goal was to capture a moment in time of Shabig. We asked the contributors to include stories that provide context for what they were submitting. And then those were illustrated with photographs from the collection of how and where people ate and got their food. Ongoing programs include the lecture series and the regular Sloop's Log publication and our new webpage and more. That's the 40 minutes that I'm not going to go into. So looking forward, what's on our agenda? The museum building is the biggest element in our collection. In it, we also have artifacts that are irreplaceable, and they're fragile. Leather or delicate fabrics or paper. So they're vulnerable to environmental degradation. As you might expect with a building that's 150 years old, we've identified some issues with environmental systems. To be good stewards, we've conducted an assessment of the building envelope, mechanical systems evaluation, and prepared a plan. That plan, with special engineering assistance, outlines three phases of work, which we hope to embark on this fall, to address moisture and ventilation issues and the mitigation steps that will protect the collection and the building for the long term. At the same time, we intend to sustain existing programs and expand our digital history of the community, including, for example, by documenting the interiors of old Shabig structures while they are still intact. And we have the potential, if we can organize and fund them, to host summer interns, college and university students who have this as a special interest, who can help us to complete the review and evaluation and documentation of new artifacts that will strengthen our collection. And all these ambitions are possible with contributions of people who want to volunteer their time, to be sustaining donors of the organization, and if you see the right passion project, to be a game changer that makes one of these goals a reality. Thank you.
Also making it on the 5 o'clock vote is Pips Veazey for the library.
Thank you. Good evening. As some of you have heard me say in the past, I was an accidental president several years ago, but I couldn't be happier and more proud of the library, and I'm so happy to be on the board. And I want to thank you for some of the things that the Recompense and other people have done for us recently, and just give you a little bit of sense of what the library is today. Because as you're probably aware, libraries are evolving all over the country. What we think of as a library when we were kids is not necessarily the same thing now. So a lot of times you can go to the library for lots of different things, and we're trying to evolve in a way that makes sense for our community. So I want to say thank you to the gravel pad that we have, to our beautiful new website. If you haven't been on there, please look at the website on the library, to a lot of new books that we've been able to purchase lately. We're so thankful for your support, and it really has added such a depth to the library. We have had the opportunity to grow closer and more understanding with our fellow hall and council partners in the building, and thinking about the addition that we're putting on, which was made possible by the state and some donations from people in our community, which is wonderful. So we have an addition as soon as we find a builder. So our plea to you, if you know any wonderful builders who want to build a very simple little addition onto the library, we would love to know who that person might be. And I want to let Corey, our wonderful director of the library, talk a little bit about the programming that we have. And I'm really glad that Corey has decided to join me this year, because she's usually working in the library during these meetings. So, Corey, can you talk a little bit about the programming that we do?
Well, thank you for surprising me with the microphone. Happy to see everyone and to finally be at this wonderful event. We are so excited about some of our ongoing programs that we have throughout the year. We have a weekly story time for the children. We have a poetry event the first Saturday of every month of the year, which brings together a wonderful, evolving group of people sharing poetry and other thoughtful writings. We have a book club that we started about a year ago that meets once a month, and we have had a wonderful time meeting different people in the community that way. Also, we are so proud that we host the Chibeague Island School each week of the school year. We are so fortunate to have such wonderful teachers that use the library services not just during their library time, but throughout their week and beyond. So we're so fortunate to be connected. And we have also extended a little program for our teens. It's the first Wednesday of every month. We just open the library after school during the school year, and then in the evening during the summer for teens to just come in and have the library to themselves. So we're very excited about adding programs. We welcome the community to use the library space. It is a beautiful space, and it is available to the nonprofits for meetings and any other programming that we can collaborate with. We've been really fortunate to work with the other nonprofits, and looking forward to many more. The Kids Place and the Rec Center have been, you know, wonderful partners in a lot of events. We've worked with other folks to bring back the holiday party for the little kids with Santa, who is a good friend of someone who spoke earlier. And we also look forward to helping out in any way we can with any of the other events that people are hoping to see back in the community. Thank you. So, thank you.
Next on our list of the island's nonprofits is the Living History Farm at Second Wind Farm. I know they were not sending anybody, but I think we all know of the beautiful museum that they've built there and the wonderful summer camp that is run with Chuck Varney's tutelage. Their official mission is to offer a three-dimensional setting to learn about the island's significant agricultural past and its folk culture. Is there anyone to speak for the school tonight? Chibeague's school is pre-K through fifth, with a special commitment to nurturing and respecting each child's individual abilities, while also challenging students to accomplish things they never dreamed they were capable of doing. Through hands-on experiences emphasized by intergenerational relationships from the community, and Island Resources, the school will strengthen students' abilities to contribute to a positive and productive attitude with respect for themselves, others, and our environment. I think we all know what an exceptional school we have here on the island. Anybody from the sailing school? The sailing school?
Sorry.
Oh. I hear my stomach growling.
Yeah.
It's great. Great.
Thank you.
We'll get this figured out by the time.
You're
going
to have to really lower it.
All right. How about that?
That's perfect. Thanks. Hi, my name is Jessica Fleck, and I'm the director of the sailing school. I'm here also with Kim Venkatraman, who is the commodore of the yacht club. And I just wanted to start out by saying a little something about the sailing school. Maybe for some people who don't know, it was actually started by a group of sailors from the Chabig Island Yacht Club in the 1970s. So it has been around for over 50 years, meaning that five generations of Chabigers have either taught or participated in sailing on the island. The sailing school, not only teaches sailing, but it also introduces kids to water and boat safety. It challenges kids to adapt to weather and boating conditions, and it provides an environment for people to make friends with both yearly residents and summer kids. Many of these friendships have lasted many years, as I can attest to. This summer, we've had about 70 kids participating in our programs, and that means about 45 to 50 kids are participating in one or each of three sessions. We offer need-based scholarships for anybody who asks, and typically we grant about 10 scholarships a year. In the past, we've been able to fully fund our program just from the tuition that we receive. But about 5 years ago, we had an aging fleet, and our insurance costs have been rising quite dramatically. And it presented quite a big challenge to us. So we are very grateful to the Recompense Fund and to other donors who have kind of righted the ship, if I may. We now have a fleet of boats that are in good condition. We've got 9 420s, 4 opties, and 2 launches. And we're not currently seeking a grant, but we have really appreciated the past support, which allowed us to purchase some of this equipment. And the Recompense Fund has provided us with money to continue scholarships into the future. We also appreciate the support of many people on the island that help keep the sailing school afloat. We think it's a valuable part of our island community, and we are very grateful for its continued viability. Thank you.
Jenny Hackle will be speaking for the Rec Center.
I'm absolutely thrilled to have you all here. It's just been a wonderful experience to be the president of the Rec Center. I'm in my third year, and it's just such an exciting board and such great staff. The Rec Center began, as you may know, 27 years ago. Eldon carried the torch and, you know, led a community survey to look at, like, how can we get some recreation going on the island? We need a pool. The fitness room was really had in mind the fire and rescue people to stay physically fit through the winter. The kids needed a teen room after there had been a car accident. And, of course, we needed a craft room and just other places, a place to gather. So now it's really been amazing to see this place grow. Bill got me some numbers as our recreation director now that in 2023 we had 2,200 visitors for the year. In 2024, 3,300 visitors for the year. And just as of the end of the July, 4,947 visitors for the Rec Center. So, wow. It's really exciting. Personal donations, recompense donations, all kinds of donations are so helpful. You see here our wonderful holiday ornament of this heavy bag, Michael Hollander teaching classes. So we're doing everything from boxing and basketball and pickleball and tennis and the fitness room and the kids programs and soccer camp out on the volunteer field. And after school during the year is now 4 days a week here. It used to be 2 days a week here and 2 days a week at the school. But Bill has led the charge to coordinate with the school and really have a coordinated curriculum. The kids really thrive in that environment. As you know, too, the Kids Place came under our umbrella of a 501c3, but we're so grateful to the Recompense Fund for actually granting separately to the Kids Place, because it's its own building, its own staff, it has its own needs, and we're just really grateful that we didn't have to have a whole other board of directors, a whole other payroll. That saves money at the same time that we pool our resources. So we're also growing our programs here at the Rec for social connection. We have dessert and discussion, which kind of adds to things that the Historical Society is doing, where there's lots of experts on this island with lots of experience and knowledge, and we get to sit around, have coffee, eat some cookies, talk about whatever topic. So if you, any of you here in the room want to present a dessert and discussion, come talk to me or Bill or Caitlin. And any of you want to be on the board, come talk to me. Any of you want to be on a committee, come talk to me. And we also have crafternoons on Fridays when it's not summer, where we're all so busy and where the camps aren't taking everybody's time and space. So this year, I want to be put a big shout out of thanks to the Rec Center for funding our new heat exchanger. When we first opened the pool, which was mid-June this year, we were very excited. Bill got certified to be our pool person balancing the chemicals. It's a huge job. And we opened the pool early, but the water was freezing cold because our heater wasn't working. And so we needed a new heat exchanger. We knew that ahead of time, but it just took a while to get the right bid and get it installed and whatnot. So people said, well, they needed a wetsuit to swim at the pool the first week. But by the time the heat exchanger was working, we now have a nice warm pool. And it's so important that we have a warm pool for the kids to come learn to swim, learn water safety, learn diving down to get something. They're not just like fighting to breathe in the main water. They can have a good warm pool. So we're very, very grateful for that. And is it okay if I jump ahead to Caitlin to do Kids Place right after me? So Caitlin, if you want to come up. I love how we collaborate together, not just the Rec Center and Kids Place under one roof or under two roofs next to each other, but all of the different organizations that have been up here. We do things with the library. We do things with the Commons. We do things with the SECA. We do things with the church. It's just really been wonderful. And kids of all ages, as all the people are here, kids of all ages.
Hi, my name is Caitlin Wetham. I'm currently the managing director of the Chabig Recreation Center and the director of Kids Place. As you all know, I know many of you, you know that I love the Rec Center, but when I moved here 16 years ago, I started working at Kids Place right away, and it's held a very special place in my heart since then. Long before my daughter was born, 8 years ago. And I just want to say that the generosity of the Recompense Fund has made so much possible at Kids Place. This year, we were awarded a grant to install heat pumps, which will really make a difference down at Kids Place in terms of saving on propane bills, things like that, and also without making it so that we don't have to haul our massive AC unit that takes two people to lift in and out every year, so it will keep us cool as well. And we're working towards energy efficiency, which is so important. Last year, the Recompense Fund awarded us a grant for outdoor classroom, and if you haven't had a chance to see it, it's incredible. There's a mural on the side of the building, we have new fencing, an expanded play area, a dry stream, two new play structures, a sand pit, the list goes on. Right, that's, yes, a teepee and also a new, what we're calling a tree house, which is a platform where the kids can play. And it's really made a difference for the children to be able to really engage outside. You should see the mud kitchens and all of the mud activities that take place there. At Kids Place, we've been working really hard to strengthen and grow the program. I believe that it's one of a kind. It's an example for other small communities. We are only licensed to 12 children, but we have two full-time year-round teachers and two part-time teachers. Our hours are 7:30 to 4:30 Monday through Friday. So in having this depth of staffing, we're able to really keep Kids Place open consistently and really provide quality education for these children. Our two year-round teachers have been here for almost 2 years, which is just about a record for many centers just like this. So we're really proud of the program. And one challenge that we have is that we don't have the critical mass of children to have the tuition revenue to provide competitive wages to our teachers. So it's thanks to many of you, the Recompense Fund, and others that were able to keep the doors open, keep the lights on, and keep the children really thriving and growing in the environment. As the number of children come and go, and go up and down, I mean, every child on this island between the ages of 0 and pre-K have had some touch point with Kids Place, and it's just absolutely necessary for these young working families, both of which the mother and the father or the partners often work full-time, both of them, so it's absolutely essential for them to be able to live here. And it takes a lot to keep it going, but I think it's more than worth it for our community and for our kids. And I just want to thank all of you for being here and for supporting Kids Place and the Rec Center and all these other amazing nonprofits that I've had the privilege to work with at different times. So thank you.
Susan Stranahan for the transportation company. Susan, there, yes.
Good evening, everybody. I want to first thank Jeff Westcott for his kind acknowledgement of the collaboration between CTC and the fire rescue. I don't know if you have had a chance to look at the video that CTC produced for its 50th anniversary. If you haven't, it's on the website. Its name is, appropriately, Lifeline of an Island, and that's what CTC is, and it is in tight coordination with the fire rescue. So if you haven't had a chance to look, this is a plug. If you haven't had a chance to look at the video, please do. You'll recognize a lot of faces and hear some wonderful stories about CTC in the old days and the new days. Sometimes planets align and everything goes exactly as you hope it would. Doesn't happen often, but when it does, it's a great feeling. This spring, we discovered that CTC's workhorse vessel, the Dovekey, the little push boat critical to our barging operations, had outlived its useful life. Built in 1997 with an expected lifespan of 10 years, the Dovekey was way past its retirement age, in need of costly repairs, and no longer compatible with changes in CTC's barging business. Replacement vessels were few and far between and extremely expensive. Then, in a stroke of good fortune, CTC located a push boat for sale in Freeport, no longer needed by the contractor owner, who happened to be eager to sell at a very good price. As anyone who lives on Chabig knows, barging is critical to island sustainability. And CTC's barging operations are an important and growing revenue stream that helps us hold the line on passenger ticket prices. The availability of a new push boat that could almost immediately be put into service for years to come was too good an opportunity to pass up. There was one caveat. A port engine needed repairs, costing about $40,000. Thanks to the help from Recompense, the engine has been repaired. The Millard W. Prey, we are going to rename this boat, is now in full service. The boat crew loves her. Our barging operations are expanding, and CTC is feeling very fortunate. We've even found an eager buyer for the old Dovekeep. Thank you all very much. Thanks to Recompense, and thanks to this community for supporting CTC.
Amy Rich for the Island Commons.
Hi, everybody. Amy Rich. So nice to see everyone. It's kind of wild to me how many people in the room are friends and clients and workers of the Island Commons, just showing how connected we all are. This year marks the Island Commons' 26th anniversary in my 18th year with the company. Thank you. 15 of those as administrator. You'd think by now I would have seen it all, but the truth is this place still surprises me. I'm still learning, still growing as a leader, and still listening to what the island needs and what keeps us going. And quite frankly, it's the support of every person in here, Recompense, but the people who even come and play a game or bring their dog by or come to sing songs with us, it's would be non-existent without the community support for a place that's open around the clock every single day. What keeps us going? It's the people, 20 dedicated staff, 10 commuting from off island, 3 from Long Island now, keep stealing some workers from Long. A strong, engaged board, a supportive community, and residents who make every day worth it. Together, we adapt, innovate, and keep showing up for each other. We have changed our landscape over a number of times to continue with our mission. A transportation grant from Recompense made a huge difference this year. It keeps our 3 cars and 15 passenger van on the road and helps us offer travel benefits, critical for attracting staff willing to work on an unbridged island. In short, it helps us to live our mission, enhancing life options for elders through care and support, whether aging in place or here at the Island Commons. I have 10 workers, some as far as Saco. We have 12-hour shifts. With their commute, they're running 14-hour shifts. It's a big deal to keep it going. It's really incredible. And those who work there can attest to it's a real puzzle piece sometimes. Our work takes many forms, a warm home for up to 7 residents. Plug for myself, we do have 2 beautiful open private rooms. A daytime program for connection and support. In-home care for those who prefer to stay put. A free loan closet of walkers, wheelchairs, and more. And even a recliner for Dad, who couldn't sleep in his island bed when he got here. We sent that recliner right out for 2 weeks. Dad's doing better. And Meals on Wheels every Tuesday, which is about 30 meals for elders, both here and at home. And then there's the everyday magic. A ride around the island, a beach picnic, a Scrabble game, cocktail hour, and a championship puzzle. Those moments are what matters most. And they are as big as our giant programs that keep us running. Today, 3 of my residents went to Chandler's Beach with 2 of my workers and came back a little more suntan than I like, but they had a great time. It is an easy cost rise, staff come and go, and we feel every goodbye. We've had a lot of huge goodbyes in the last 6 months. But we keep going, fundraising, working hard, and planning ahead. We're looking forward for our annual Harvest Dinner in September. Hope to see everybody there. Our holiday party in December and another summer boat cruise next July. In the year ahead, we focus on making our home safer more beautiful and more sustainable. We'll be creating a fully accessible shower room for residents and community members who might need to use it, restoring the warmth of our hardwood floors, and joining Revision Energy's Community Solar Share to lighten our footprint and our energy bills. That's already began. Island Commons has touched nearly everyone here in some way, whether they're a loved one's care, a volunteer, a meal, or a shared celebration. For that connection, for the recompense support, and for all your support, I'm deeply grateful. Thank you.
Is there anyone here from the Ross Scholarship Fund? Ah, great.
Hi again. I am here representing the Stephen L. Ross Scholarship Fund. I've been on the board of the fund for quite a while, but I'm actually going to read you a letter from Sarah McKinnon, who's the president of the board. She couldn't be here today, so I wanted to share her words with you. Good evening, community members. My apologies for not being able to join you this evening. The board members of the Stephen L. Ross Scholarship thank the Recompense Fund for changing their eligibility requirements to include the support of scholarships for our island students. This change in your policies will directly impact our year-round families' lives and the financial burden, and as the financial burden of higher education continues to increase. Our role in the community is to provide financial support for our year-round island scholars, and the Stephen L. Ross Scholarship Fund was established in 1964 after the loss of Steve Ross in a car accident to do just this. It is important for our board to continue to honor Steve and to make sure that he is remembered by sharing Steve's story and the story of the SLR Fund. It is an important part of our island history that must not be lost. We received our first grant from Recompense in 2016, where we used the funds to create a website, www.stephenlross.org, where we share the story of Steve, the history of the fund, and a place to recognize each recipient. We also used that initial grant to create a logo, letterhead, and to support the first annual appeal that the fund had ever done. It amazes me in 1964, a group of community members, including my grandfather, Ken Hamilton, was able to establish a fund and support students for 50 years without ever doing an appeal. When my grandfather handed over the fund to me in 2014, after 50 years, I knew that things needed to change and that we needed more community awareness and support. We now have very successful annual appeals where we continue to share the story of Steve and to highlight the increasing need to support our island scholars with the exorbitant costs of higher education. We would not have been as successful as we have been without the initial grant from Recompense, and we thank you. 2024 was a big year for the SLR Fund. Not only did we celebrate 60 years of the fund, but I worked closely with Ted Ballard and the Ballard family to create a new award in honor of Ginny Ballard. The Virginia M. Ballard Fund is a separate fund that is managed by the Maine Community Foundation and is administered by the SLR Fund. This enables us to support students through all 4 years of higher education, which is a huge win for us as a board to continue and expand our mission. And for our year-round island students, it's amazing. In 2025, we were proud to support our first group of year-round island students in their third year of college with the Ginny Ballard Award. As a board, we are committed to supporting our students with substantial awards that will directly impact the financial burden for our island families. We have watched tuition costs increase as the years go by, and the stress this has on families, and we feel compelled to support our eligible students as much as we possibly can. The addition of the Ginny Ballard Award and the changes that Recompense have made to include scholarships has had a meaningful impact on the 2025 scholarship year. Not only were we able to support 9 students this year, but we are also able to give scholarships to deserving students that will truly make a difference in our students and their families' financial obligations. One deserving student received a scholarship in the amount of $7,000, our largest award to date, and we would not have been able to support our students without the direct support of the community and the Recompense Fund. Looking toward the future, we are facing continued increasing tuition costs, which will be a hardship on our working class year-round families. To continue the work of the Stephen L. Ross Scholarship Fund, we need financial community support. We need people to continue to donate to our annual appeal. We need community members to remember us when they honor family members and loved ones. And we need the community to know that we are out here doing the work that needs to be done, to invest in our youth and our year-round families. We hope we will continue to be eligible for support from the Recompense Fund so that I can make phone calls that I like I did in May to share with one island student that she received a $7,000 award. We need support from all of you so that we can invest in our island youth. When we invest in our youth, they invest in our community. I saw it this summer when all nine of our recipients eagerly signed up for studentships. And I saw it again when past recipient Aaron Bleska sent me $500 to donate to the Stephen L. Ross Scholarship Fund after selling t-shirts he made. When I thanked him for his donation, his response was, "We need to support those that helped us when we needed it." And that, in my opinion, is why we need to invest in our island scholars. We need to show them that we believe in them and that we are proud of them and that they will make us proud. Thank you for your support, and I'm always available if anyone wants to learn more about how to support the fund. Warmly, Sarah McKinnon.
I know that Carl is here. Is there anybody else that I have missed? Any organization that did not get a chance to speak? Then no better way to end this enchanted evening. Then with Carl Tubasing for the Macbeth concert series.
You don't know how close I am to bursting into song. And I say that seriously because the song Honey Bun has been going through my mind. And as I walked out the door, I said to Ellen, "I may actually sing that before." No, you won't. I won't. So I think most of you know that this year is the 25th anniversary of what used to be called the Free Concert Series, and now is the Macbeth Concert Series, named for Mac Bassano and Beth Howe. We feel like we've been celebrating the anniversary all summer. This weekend, having presented South Pacific with Tyler Putnam and Sarah Norden is clearly the centerpiece of that celebration. It was hugely successful. If you weren't there, I'm not sure that I can find the words to express how the magic that was in that hall for both Friday night and Sunday afternoon. The singing, the acting, the compelling stories, the tears, including mine, and the mix of professionals and the island talent, including some of you in this room who are up on the stage entertaining us and having a great time, I think, with the professionals. And by the way, if you were there, you know the rooms both nights. I'm looking at a couple of people who came both times, and they know that that the room was packed both nights. I can't imagine that there have been events in the hall that drew more people than South Pacific did over the weekend. But our other concerts, starting in June with a new classical pianist that we discovered who was stunning. His name is Scott Cuellar. The Paul English concerts. I've been to maybe countless jazz concerts over the years, and I thought Saturday night with Paul English was one of the best I've ever witnessed. Sebago Long Lake group who really were the founding group for the series. All were worthy of the 25th anniversary celebration. We have two more concerts coming up in about 10 days. We have our beloved children's program, this time featuring the charming book Ferdinand the Bull, and at the recommendation of some Shebeegers that we are the string quartet, the Halcyon String Quartet, is going to have another introductory segment that will feature the instruments, and they'll be talking about the musical instruments so that the kids can get a better sense of what it is that they're doing and the music that's coming out of them. And then finally, over Labor Day weekend on August 31st, we have our old friends from the Novel Jazz Septet who will entertain us on Jim and Ann Gallagher's lawn with the music of Duke Ellington and Billy Strayhorn. This eclectic mixture is not accidental. It's driven by our mission statement to enrich the cultural life of Chibig by producing a series of classical music and jazz concerts each summer. The mission statement is an important part of one of Macbeth's bigger challenges. How do we keep our offerings fresh while remaining loyal to our regular artists? And, by the way, their ardent followings. Try dropping one of them and you start hearing about it. In some ways, what I consider to be two of our other big challenges are very related to the mission statement. How do we attract young people to the concerts and involving them in the organization? And how do we attract more year-round islanders to the concert? I think South Pacific was a big step in the direction of involving more young people and involving more year-round islanders. I lost my train of thought. So let me just go back to where I was. If we add more concerts that might have more appeal to young people, say, would we be straying too far from our mission statement? And thereby raising the existential question of how sacrosanct is our mission statement? And believe it or not, surprisingly, we're going to be dealing with that in the fall and talk about whether we're comfortable with where we are or where we go from here. So thank you very much.
So what fabulous work we've heard about from all of these island nonprofits. It continues to amaze me that a small community like Chibig can galvanize so much talent for the public good. I'm talking about the leadership and the staff of each of our nonprofits, about the dozens and dozens of volunteers that donate their time, and of course about the island's donors whose generosity has helped these charities survive all these years. So thanks to them all. Now, the purpose of today has been to showcase our nonprofits, but I'd like to just say a word about recompense. Several years ago, we received a challenge grant of $250,000 to accelerate the growth of the fund. With your help and your annual contributions, we have met that challenge. That means that going forward, even more of the annual monies that are donated to us can go out in grants to the island nonprofits. I'll be writing about that in more detail in our annual fundraising letter at the end of the season, but thank you for your support that's gotten to this point. And thank you again to Eldon for the vision and energy and love of Chibig that set us on this trajectory. My thanks to all of you for coming, to the donors for attending today, to our speakers. Thank you for your time and for your leadership in the community and for the guidance you provided to so many of the volunteers who work with you. So grab a cookie, seek out somebody whose talk inspired you, and enjoy the rest of the evening. Thank you for coming.